The Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast, proudly presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook by using promo code RTRS. Brought to you by BodyBio. Get 20% off any order at BodyBio.com with code FIRECJ. Kornblau and Kornblau, the official law firm of The Process. And Stateside Urban Craft Vodka, the official sponsor of the Corner 3 newsletter with Zoe, which comes out tomorrow. Or you probably might be listening to this on Thursday. It came out today. StatesideVodka.com. On the show today, some time has passed. We'll see if the anger has faded. Speaking of past, rest in peace, Doc Rivers, who didn't die but did get fired by the Sixers. The rumors that firing Doc will allow them to keep James Harden. Speaking of James Harden, he did opt out, or he plans to or whatever, and wants a four-year deal. Also, Joel Embiid seems mad that they fired Doc Rivers. All in all, things are great. Speaking of which, we've had our voicemail line, 833-LICKFACE, for a while now. The Game 7 loss really has inspired a lot of voicemail, so much so that we put out a half-hour pod on Tuesday that was only angry voicemails from after the game. Some real comedy in there. People keep calling. So if you haven't listened to it, I think it is actually worth a listen. Stateside Vodka, I mentioned. Now, Stateside Vodka, Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, the vodka sodas are good all year long. But when the weather gets warm, the Surfside and the vodka sodas really hit. They hit right. This year, I don't know, did they even have them last summer? I don't think so. Last summer, I don't think they had all the flavors of Surfside. The peach tea and vodka, the iced tea, lemonade and vodka, and the straight up lemonade and vodka, all Surfside. Try them all. Try the vodka sodas. Got to be 21. Yeah. And get it at statesidevodka.com. Without any further ado, Amos and the chef. Welcome to the Rights of Ricky Sanchez podcast. I'm Spike Eskin, along with a guy who didn't know what we're talking about on the show. That is one Mike Levin.
No, and I never will again.
Yeah, it's a good plan.
I will be doing this podcast for the rest of my natural born life, yep. But that doesn't mean that I have to like or care about the Sixers.
Nope, and no one ever said we did.
I don't plan to.
I think I did mention in the intro the voicemails. I thought this would be an appropriate one to start off the show because I think it might have been the best one we got.
I think Sam Hinkie should have to shove his middle finger up Jerry Colangelo's ass. We should shove his middle finger up Brian Colangelo's ass. We should shove his middle finger up all the little Colangelo asses. We should shove their middle fingers up Elton's ass. We should shove his middle finger up Daryl's ass. And they should do this all on Broad Street in front of us as penance for making us fucking suffer.
There we go.
No, I think that's good. Like a kind of like a hands across America type thing, except the fingers in buttholes across Broad Street.
Yeah, I was thinking.
From former Sixers front office members.
Sixers human centipede. It was a little bit of that too.
So. For sure.
So here we are. The Sixers, before we even get a chance to revisit his era, before he goes, the Sixers fire Doc Rivers. He puts out a statement. The statement is as such. Hold on. Let me
read
it.
Can you believe it was only 3 years?
Oh, no. It was at least 20 or 25 years.
It feels like essentially Doc Rivers raised me from the womb as a Sixers fan just forever.
Here's a statement. I know I've disappointed a lot of people who have supported me. This is a journey, and I recognize there's more work to do.
Nope.
My words might not mean much right now, but I take full accountability for my actions. I'm committed to doing work on myself. No. Ja Morant's statement. I really enjoyed my time in Philadelphia. What a great city. I want to start by thanking my staff, the players.
You should have read the Brian Colangelo statement.
What's that?
You should have read that one.
Good idea. I really enjoyed my time in Philadelphia. What a great city. I want to, man, it's so sarcastic.
Yeah.
I want to start by thanking my staff, the players, and the ownership group for their support. We got a lot done in a short amount of time. I'd also like to thank the 76ers fans.
Hoo boy!
You guys are tough. And I think you've learned I'm tough too. I absolutely love your commitment to
this.
What
does that mean? What does I'm tough too mean? I just want to know what it means.
Can I, that sentence means
that, like, if we tried to fight him, he would fight back? Like, what is it? What are we that he kept his job for a long and is getting paid after the fact? Like, what is it? What does I'm tough too mean? I just want to know what that means in the sense of coaching.
I
just
want to know the sentence sense of it. Means you guys are a bunch of fucking assholes.
Yeah.
And I think you learned that I'm so a fucking asshole too.
Yeah. And that's fine.
Yeah.
No one's listening to this podcast and going like, Mike seems tough. Like, I'm not. And that doesn't come across. And I don't know how it would come across for Doc based on the way he coaches.
I absolutely love your commitment to the city and its teams. Never lose that. The translation
Thank you.
For that is, boy, you guys have nothing else going on.
Yeah. And also, like, let me give you a tip. Let me give you a little tip on how to continue acting. Don't lose it. Just so patronizing.
I wanted just as badly as you to bring another championship to Philadelphia.
This couldn't possibly be true.
I thank you for giving me the opportunity to lead, to learn, and to love this great city, Doc Rivers.
That's a list of things that you've learned.
Yeah.
Just a short list, 5 or 10 things.
And from Daryl, Doc is one of the most successful coaches in NBA history, a future Hall of Famer, and someone I respect immensely. Now, nowhere in there does he say he's a good coach. Just so you know, it's not about what he says, it's what he doesn't say. We're grateful for all he did in his 3 seasons here, and I thank him for the important impact he made in our franchise. Again, doesn't say he did any good,
no.
Important and impact. Mm-hmm. After having the chance to reflect upon our season, we decided that certain changes are necessary to further our goals of competing for a championship. Mike, I offer you this. As he was fired, and he was a dickhead the entire time,
yeah,
a frighteningly average coach,
yeah.
I actually thought to myself, and I think it was after I heard one comment and then read another one. The one was the Ramona Shelburne thing, that she doesn't think that James Harden would return if Doc Rivers is there. And the other report was that the major conflict is that Doc didn't want him to shoot every time, basically, and wanted the offense to center around Embiid. So I offer you this. As Doc Rivers is fired, he was an asshole the whole time. I never supported him. But in his farewell, I was actually like, maybe kind of got a raw deal.
I mean,
a little even, maybe.
Well, this certainly, like, the Celtics series loss certainly wasn't his fault.
Right.
But on the list of reasons the Sixers lost this series and once again did not make it to the conference finals, he's not the top 1 or 2, or you could argue 3.
Yep.
But I don't think that there was an argument to be made that he should stay. Like, he should, he certainly didn't earn his job here. He got hired before Daryl came in. That's always weird when the coach gets hired before the GM.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you know, a ticking clock no matter what. He very, you know, has a reputation for losing big games. I should have just written the number down, but like in with 3 wins in the series, Mike Prada wrote, like, it's, what is it, like 17-33 or something? It's some like crazy number of like, he's so much worse than every other coach that has been that long employed in when they're up 3-0 have 3 wins in a playoff series. And it's just like over and over again, other teams will make adjustments and Doc will just continue going with what is not working or not think that that's possible or something that like allows, you know, Joel to like him and so many other guys to pretty much like playing for him will run out in the playoffs. I don't think it's a Doug Collinsy thing where Doug Collins is like just on them and on them and on them and on them. And over eventually that just wears on guys and they just go, fuck you. But something about the way Doc coaches or his coaching philosophies lead to things are going well when they're, when like he's front running. And then when things start to turn, there's nothing he can go to. He's not light on his feet enough to go like, let's pivot and do something else. And it's just like, that's why he's lost so many big games. And, you know, he hasn't made the conference finals since 2015 or before that. He didn't make the conference finals with the Clippers. He didn't make the conference finals here. Like, over and over again, failing, his team's failing in big moments. And I definitely don't think he was like the
sounds
capital.
Sounds like you're describing Joel, honestly.
What?
Sounds like you're describing Embiid.
Sure, but I mean, you know.
Yeah.
He hasn't gotten there. Joel being the only MVP ever to not have made the conference finals. Obviously there's more of his career left, is like, you know, an indictment so far. But, you know, Doc has coached so many good teams and has blown so many leads and has had so many opportunities to do things. Did you see that Rasheed Wallace clip?
No.
From his podcast? Oh, you should watch it. I think you would like it. Where okay. he talks about like Doc doesn't make adjustments. Like in the huddle, he'll just say some motivating stuff. And then the players will then, after the huddle, go like, okay, fuck all that shit. And like, what are we going to do? Okay, you do this, you do this. Like it was, and then mere moments. I think CJ's pulling it up right now. Here, play it. Let's see it.
Get Glenn out of there. You got to get somebody in there that the players respect. He doesn't make adjustments. That's just from being in the locker room with him for that one season. That seems to always be his biggest knock. If his team is up, you don't really have to coach shit then. When you in the trenches and you going against another team and another good coach, you got to be more than a locker room manager. He depends more on the players to make those adjustments. For that coach also, you have to come in there and make adjustments as well, especially if what you're trying hasn't worked. And when we were in Boston, as far as the players out there on the floor, we were the one that made the adjustment. All right, come out the huddle. Right before we get on the floor, we huddle up like, all right, look, yo.
Nope.
Hey, fuck that. We're going to do this. Boom, 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 boom. For the way that Glenn is, he's not that hard-nosed coach that we need. Nobody wanted to believe me. Now look. Yeah.
Man, I would love to have Rasheed Wallace on this podcast. That's one. And two, I forgot he was on the fucking Celtics that year.
Yeah, for sure.
I actually forgot that.
For sure. And so I think it's just like, look, is he the worst coach in the league? No. He's probably in that middle, but he's gotten so many opportunities and he's such a stubborn asshole. And for whatever it is, like, this team needed some change. Obviously, I wanted to change every single thing about this team mere days ago. And firing the coach is always the easiest one. So I don't think he earned the right to keep his job. He's going to make a bunch of money. Nobody feels bad for Doc.
No,
And it's time to give another coach a shot to see if there's something else that they can do with this team, with Embiid, whatever, to take him to the next step, which Doc did, or Embiid did while Doc was here. I don't want to give Doc credit for it, but at least it happened while Doc was here, that Embiid has taken his game to new heights, become the MVP. But now this is several playoffs in a row where this team has just totally failed in the playoffs. And Embiid specifically wears it of not showing up in the playoffs while the other guy across the conference is just dominating.
He's doing pretty good.
And Embiid should feel embarrassed and should be, you know, showing up at Drew Hanlon's house in the middle of the night being like, let's fucking teach me how to have touch and make me a better ball handler and all the sorts of things that get me in better shape, whatever the fuck. I don't care. Anything. Show up in these big games that he hasn't.
Him losing his job, like, he's a different coach, different situation, blah, 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 but not too much different than when Brett got fired. It was like, well, was he the reason specifically? No, but the time, it had run its course. The Doc thing had run its course. It did. We'll get to it in a second. The Harden stuff, we'll get to Harden in a second.
Yeah.
So Woj says, you know, basically just gives the list of coaches who are available, but the search for a new coach is expected to include Mike Budenholzer, Sam Cassell, Mike D'Antoni, Nick Nurse, Frank Vogel, Monty Williams. And then one website reported, though I would be stunned and I guess it would be great for content, but I would have a heart attack, that JJ Redick was the favorite odds wise to score the job. Though
which
I don't.
Is pretty crazy to list him as the favorite for a guy that's never coached at any level before.
Well, it's it's one of those things where they print the odds just to get PR out of it, because it's like the first bucket of the game bet. They clean up no matter what you bet. So, yeah. You know, of that list, it's going to be Mike D'Antoni. I would be most interested in, I'm curious what you have to say. I would be most interested in Nick Nurse for sure. And I would not at all be interested in Mike Budenholzer. I would not be at all interested, I don't think, in Frank Vogel, but I don't actually care that much because they're all the same. I would like, of that list, I would like Nick Nurse. And it would also be kind of neat if they just hired somebody that nobody knows of and is somebody new, I think.
Yeah. Again, with the caveat that I don't care about the Sixers and never will again, and just truly hate them. People are coming up to me at like wherever I've been, picket lines, whatever, and like talking to me like it's a death.
Yeah. I'm sorry about your Sixers.
I'm so sorry. And like, it's not good when people do that, that's probably the better version than when they start to like talk shit. And I'm like, there's no version of this where you're better at talking shit about the Sixers than I am.
Yep.
So like, don't even try.
They have no idea.
They have no idea.
Yeah.
I've never been good at like fans going back and forth to like shit on their other teams. It's like, I always think that's gross and extremely like limiting, and not fun, but like, about your own team, that'll get me on your side pretty easily. If you are hating on your own team, I think that's what Philadelphia fans, and especially Sixers fans, are better at than anybody else.
Working just as a addendum to that. Obviously, I work in, and you're not in Philadelphia. I'm in New York, where everybody, the Sixers lose, and everybody wants to be like, ha, 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 ha. And I'm just totally like, you're wrong guy. you're doing this with the wrong person.
Yeah. You're laughing at me? Well, I have a knife to my throat. Yeah. How's that sound? You like that? Is that what you want? That's good. Is that the appropriate reaction to how you're acting? You want to taunt me a little bit? I'm stabbing myself in the throat. I'm drawing blood right now in front of you. Do you like it?
Not because of what you said. I was already doing it.
I was already doing it.
You walked in on me.
Yeah. Nothing's good.
Which coach?
But as far as those coaches go, I don't know. It's a list. It's a list of the available guys.
Yep.
I mean, Sam Cassell's going to be on this list every time. Monty Williams obviously used to be a Sixers assistant coach, so Embiid has a relationship with him. D'Antoni would be like, man, that would be the really crazy. Important. I don't think he's a bad coach.
No,
I don't. And I think he at least
coach, I think,
has
actually
style and ideas, mm-hmm, and stuff like that. But that would be like the single wildest triple down.
Yep.
In basketball history, to go get Harden for Daryl, and then to go get Harden's coach after that, like, definitely ran its course in Houston and never quite got there. And didn't Embiid wanted D'Antoni, so maybe that is like a unifying thing, and we'll talk about Harden afterwards. But like, I don't know. I don't give a shit. I think Frank Vogel's a pretty good coach. I think Monty Williams is a pretty good coach. I think Nick Nurse has ideas. Budenholzer would be annoying. But we don't know shit, dude. We don't know shit about these coaches. Like, it seems like Nick Nurse had ideas until all of a sudden, like, their personnel didn't have enough shooting or whatever. And then they've been a tire fire the past few years. So I don't know. I don't fucking know. Daryl's got to figure it out. And I'm not going to like claim someone as my preferred coach, because I'm going to hate them no matter what.
Yeah.
I plan on it. I will thrive on it.
So the odds at DraftKings Sportsbook for next year's title odds are out at DraftKings Sportsbook. You can bet on those futures.
That's extremely rude of them to do that to me.
Yeah. Would you like to, do you want to guess where the Sixers are?
On the list?
Yeah.
Okay. Too high.
They are plus 1300. Behind the Celtics, Nuggets, Bucks, Suns, Lakers, and Warriors at DraftKings Sportsbook. We love DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. They also have the odds, will the Ricky make it to next season? I was blown away. I thought it was hilarious. The number of people that were like, you guys have to end the podcast now. Wait, what? I can understand you don't want to watch the Sixers anymore, but why do I have to stop doing the podcast? It can't exist anymore. Anyway, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can make a $5 bet and score $150 in bonus bets instantly with promo code RTRS. Also, no sweat, same game parlay every day during the NBA playoffs. Open the app, opt in, place the same game parlay bet on any game. If you lose, they'll give you a bonus bet back and the amount of your initial bet up to $10. I think the Celtics are an 8.5-point favorite today. Download the app now and sign up with code RTRS. New customers can make a $5 NBA bet and score $150 in bonus bets instantly only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code RTRS. Got to be 21. See show notes for details. CJ, could you bring up the comment from Daryl when they asked him at the, and over, I got to give Daryl credit. This may have been the most boring press conference of all time. I missed it and I watched the whole thing, but they asked him about Stephen A. Smith's comment that Joel Embiid was angry that the Sixers had fired Doc Rivers.
You said, mentioned Joel and his relationship with Doc. Stephen A. on television last night reported that Joel was not happy about Doc getting fired. How concerning is that to you? What are your thoughts on that?
They had a strong relationship. I mean, they're, you know, I have to make tough calls all the time with trades. You know, Joel was disappointed in, some of it was he didn't know the player we were getting in the trade who ended up helping us, but he was disappointed in the players that went out. I think it's natural to be very close with the people in the locker room. He was very close with Coach Rivers, and yeah, he was shocked about the change. And and it's my job to help convince him that the new coach is someone that he'll have a great relationship with as well.
Now,
was he talking about the Matisse trade?
He has to be. It's the only thing. Yeah, I would imagine. But he said he didn't know the player that we were getting back. So who knows? And so there was the Stephen A. report, and Embiid in his post-game press conference was pretty effusive in his support for Doc Rivers. And
Harden said our relationship is okay.
And then the report came from Ramona Shelburne that, you know, Harden basically said Harden wouldn't come back if Doc Rivers was the coach. And then there was the report that, and I guess this makes sense given what Embiid said, that part of the frustration between Harden and Doc was the offense being more centered around Embiid. Here's my opinion. I don't think Doc or Morey should have to consult Embiid on head coach. Hire the best head coach. So I don't care personally if he upset Embiid by firing the coach. What I would be upset with is if he got rid of the coach and is hiring a coach to make James Harden happy. Yes. That would fucking piss me off. And to your point, the Houston stuff, he might as well make the jerseys yellow and red. And, you know, like, you can't do the D'Antoni thing, and you can't, I mean, you don't think he's doing the I fired him and I'm hiring a coach for James Harden, do you?
I have no idea. He loves Harden. Like he loves him. And he must. Thinking about like if we had Daryl on now, like before any contract is signed, before the draft, before free agency, all that stuff, like, and like how honest would he be with us? And I don't know what his like level of honesty would be if, and whether he believes it or not, like how good does he still think James Harden is? And I think he still thinks he's very good.
Yeah. I think
he thinks he's like very good and extremely integral and you can win like high level playoff games with them. And like, obviously Harden had a couple extremely great games in the playoffs, but like this idea that like Harden was simply like a couple opportunities away from averaging like 37 points for in every game of the playoffs and like shooting a high percentage and moving well without the ball. And like, all it was just because of Doc that all the things didn't happen. I was like, dude, all you're going to do is you're going to dribble the ball 30,000 times. You're going to wait for a screen. You're going to mosey on over in front of it. If they start grifting you fouls, you'll take it. And then you'll throw pocket passes or you'll whip it out to the corner. There's like nothing else. You brought the little step back in there from like the little mid range, but then guys jumped on that because you're just not fast enough anymore, man. He's just not fast enough. And when the shot's not going in, he's an extremely mediocre player.
The line, so that the report from Chris Haynes about James Harden is that he's opting out. Philadelphia 76ers star James Harden intends to decline his $35.6 million player option to become an unrestricted free agent this summer in order to secure a long-term deal. Harden took a sizable pay cut last offseason to pay his friends, one of whom took a bullet for him having sex in the bubble. The other one is the only guy who even showed up for Game 7. I'm just kidding. The guard will now be seeking a four-year contract. Now, here is the line.
Yeah.
Here's the line. The Houston Rockets have long been a rumored destination, but sources say Harden will entertain suitors that present a competitive roster and, quote, the basketball freedom for the star to be himself.
Yeah, I mean, Harden is obviously dangling Houston as a threat. Whether or not he actually wants to go there or he just wants the most possible money he could get in Philly, that is how he's using it.
I don't know. I think the Sixers thing.
He's using that as a like dangling that as like, I really want to do this. And it's like, but no, you don't, dude. Like you don't want to, like, you really want to this late into your career, want to keep like taxing your body that much, which you just can't. I don't know. He had a great regular season. It leaves such a bad taste in my mouth the way it ended. And like, even those two like elite playoff games, like, make me feel nothing. So I might be just definitely recency bias into wanting to ship him to Siberia. But like, I don't know. They're kind of just, I'm doing the they're fucked rant now. 6 years after you did it, I'll do it. Just like, if they sign him, then he's here and he is limited in all the ways we know he's limited. He doesn't move off the ball at all. It fucking kills me. His attention to detail and defense is minimal at best. He'll let guys get rebounds in front of him, back cuts, all the things that we know. But if they let him walk, then they can't get anything for him. They can't like replace him with a contract of relatively equal size in any way.
Well, unless they signed and traded him somehow, unless it was a bigger trade.
Yeah. Then that could be something, but we'd have to get into like the, you know, salary cap ramifications of that. And that's obviously the least amount of fun anyone could have on a podcast.
Also, we don't know how it works.
Yeah. But let's say we're not doing it because it's not fun.
Okay.
But like, so it's just, they just seem like they're just, Harden knows that he has the Sixers by the balls, or his representation does, or whatever. And so they are going to use it to get the best deal possible from them or somewhere else. And they're probably going to, you know, if Daryl's trying to be like, well, maybe he'll take, you know, we don't want to give him 4 years, but could we give him 2 years and we'll give him like, here's who the coach is going to be, who Joel likes anyway. And because it comes to Antonio or something. I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. They seem really boxed in a way that's very frustrating. And this is just where you get to a point where, you need Daryl to prove that he's an excellent general manager. And he's had, you know, he got off of the Ben Simmons situation and he got his guy, the guy he wanted. And those results were like mostly positive, but it still resulted in how it resulted. And he's made a couple nice moves, but the cupboard is pretty barren of like what they can do. The Al Horford, Danny Green trade cost a pick. The Ben Simmons trade cost a couple picks. The trading Matisse for Jalen McDaniels, who didn't play in most of the important playoff games, cost them a high second round pick that they would be nice to have right now. And just like over and over again, they're just like little picks go, little picks go, little picks go. And now you look around, it's like they just can't trade that much shit. And you're looking at Tobias and you go like, well, I would love to break that contract up. There's not that many places you can go to do it.
You've done my "we're fucked" and my "death of a thousand cuts" speech.
Totally. Well, the "death of a thousand cuts" thing kills me and has always killed me because you know I fucking love second round picks. You know I love just there's. I mean, I all the Anthony Melton trade, who was good this year and then had a up and down playoffs.
Good trade though. Good trade.
Good trade. But good again, trade. Now that they have this guy for more money for 1 year next year, whereas they could have had a player on a rookie deal for 4 years. Like it's just everything adds up and they start and these decisions come up and guys get it more expensive and there's not that much wiggle room. And are they going to even sign Jalen McDaniels, who they traded a second round pick and Matisse for? Is he going to fit the roster? Like, do they have to go get another backup center this year if B-Ball gets a better contract somewhere else? So is the ownership and Josh Harris, who owns every rival of the Philadelphia area, is willing to go into the tax or something? Are these new rules in the tax like prohibitive in ways that we don't do that because this team hasn't gotten to the conference finals? It's just like over and over and over again. These are difficult decisions without much, maneuverability, and it all, the biggest one is obviously Harden. And I'm trying to find a middle ground where like it makes sense to do it, but it feels like it sucks either way.
Trying to think of what else Josh Harris could buy. Could he buy like the Joe Carter home run from the 93?
Yeah.
World
That'd be great. Yes. He has partnered with Joe Carter on a Joe Carter and fucking, I was thinking, the Houston Astros on a cheating and home runs to left field scandal. Fucking loser shit, man.
Okay. So
he is partnering with Patrick Mahomes' brother on a, like, come on. Get out of here. I hate that dude.
The James Harden thing, they can't resign him. He can't.
Under no circumstances. Even a 2-year deal. Even a another one plus one.
Can I explain? Here's the problem. It's not just James Harden. He was good this year, even though it should be noted, he specifically does not want to play that way this year. He definitely thinks that every single fucking play should be, fucking everybody spread out to four corners and him isolating and dribbling and dribbling and dribbling and dribbling. That's what he thinks he should do. There's no free James Harden. There's no like fun to watch. Wow, look at how cool the offense is flowing James Harden. It's what he thinks it is. That's what he thinks. But that aside, the biggest problem, and aside from the fact that he's never taken care of his body and he's 33 and looks fatter at the end of the season than he looked at the beginning of the season. And even though he did have two great games, and you made an excellent point that he won more games than Joel did in that series, he still had, if it's one of them, I'd rather have Joel. And he had four games.
And Joel has won them plenty of playoff games in the past.
Right. And three no-shows of the variety we've never seen before. Yeah. All that aside, his personality is a bad mix with Embiid's because they both have two similar loser tendencies. And I'm sorry, Joel, I think you're great and I don't want them to trade you and I want to be on the Sixers. And I do want to believe that at 29, there's a lot of story to be written in your career. So I believe in him. The problem is they need a primary player that is just a fucking winner. It's great that we have PJ Tucker, but that the only player on the team can't be the seventh best player like that. There has to be somebody that they want to follow into the fire. And James Harden is not that person. And I know what everyone will say, Jimmy Butler, I would love to have Jimmy Butler here right now. I think we said after the Hawks series, yes, they should have kept Jimmy instead of Ben. They didn't. It's like over. Yeah. I would rather they take a step back next year, find a way to sign and trade, maybe get a couple of pieces and have the team win 46 or 47 games. Let Maxey have the ball every single play. Let him work on, two-man game with Embiid, get maybe a couple of real shooters in there, and you probably don't win the championship, but at least you, Tobias's contract is gone, you rid yourself of the Harden contract, and maybe you put yourself in position. And another thing, I know this is too late for this, I don't want Embiid playing for fucking France. The play for the U.S. and go make friends with people and make somebody want to come here, because they just... It can't be Harden and Embiid. They're never going to win a championship if it's Harden and Embiid. They're just never. It's never going to happen.
Yeah, probably right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you would, if the options are sign Harden to a fully loaded 1+1, or letting him walk. Let's say the sign and trade is not an option.
1+1, and it's his option, the second one?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I'd probably do 1+1.
Okay. So there's a middle ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like any option. I feel unpleasant. I hear the idea of taking a year where you're like, we're going to have a new coach. We're going to get the stink off this. We're going to get rid of the Tobias contract, either we trade him this offseason for smaller pieces, and then it's like more tradable. I was looking at like a, I don't know, Tim Hardaway Jr. and Davis Bertans situation in Tobias, in Dallas, I mean, for Toby.
Well, I can't wait till Bertans won't shoot threes when he gets here. Yeah, that'll be great.
For sure.
Fun to watch.
Yeah. There's not a great market for a guy 1 year, $43 million on a team that just doesn't have the assets to trade. Like if they traded like Tobias and like Jaden Springer for stuff, this team just like, there's just not that many, like think about the guys that are going to be gone. Niang's going to be gone unless they sign him. McDaniel's going to be gone unless they sign him. Shake's almost definitely gone. Korkmaz inexplicably still here for one more season.
I was going to say 6 years left on his deal.
75 more trade requests away from getting him to be gone. Daniel House has a player option.
Yeah.
I think that could go either way.
PJ has like, two more years.
PJ's here, Embiid's here, Maxey's here, Melton's here for one more year. Everybody else, and Korkmaz, inexplicably. I mean, Trez has a player option. I think he could pick it up just because he might not have any else for go, but he might also want a shot somewhere.
He simply can't move.
He can't
It'll
move.
Take
he can't,
him too
he,
long.
Too much
to get
stuff
out
to
of
do.
Here. Yeah.
Honestly, Trez grabbing Embiid at the beginning of the game and like of game seven and telling him, like, you can fucking do that, you motherfucker. Like, let's go. Like made me, it honestly won me the whole season over of Trez, like him showing up at least and trying to pump somebody up. No, it's just like an unpleasant thing. They don't have that many, they don't have that many options, and they're going to have a lot of roster spots to fill. Yeah, there's a lot of, I don't know. I'm excited for Daryl to at least get a guy and as a coach that he has hired.
Yes.
And then can communicate with, because like the Matisse for Jaden McDaniels trade was a small trade and a minor trade, and the 32nd overall pick, which I think it was 32nd, the early second round pick that they traded with him, is a minor thing until it's not, dude. Like, so I guarantee someone in the early second round is going to be very good, and we're going to go like, why couldn't we have had him? Would have been great if we had had him. But it's because they make these little fucking dink and dunk trades that all of a sudden there's nobody left. There's no cupboards left to open. Everything's gone. And if they don't re-sign Jalen McDaniels, who is interesting but has a lot to improve on, then that's a kind of a disaster of a trade. To trade Matisse, who wouldn't have been in the playoff rotation, for Jalen McDaniels, who fell out of the playoff rotation and lost a valuable asset in the process. Like that's a disastrous trade, and that comes from sometimes it just happens. Guys don't play as well as you think they will. That's fine, but a better head coach, general manager dynamic, whether on the same page, it makes more sense and it works better between them. And I'm hoping that at least if Daryl gets his guy that works well together and there's like an established line of power or whatever, then maybe it works.
So I want to talk to you about Daryl right after we talk about Body Bio. We love you, Body Bio. Go to bodybio.com, use code FIRECJ, FIRECJ, all one word, for 20% off your order at bodybio.com. Body Bio, great supplement company. We love them right here, family owned and operated. When I say right here, yeah, in New Jersey. They are in New Jersey. Mike has found so much success with the gut supplement, Gut Plus. It is right. Right.
Yeah, there's more in the mail. I'm tapping my foot waiting for it to arrive so I can be housing that shit.
Mike has had tummy problems for years and years and years. People take these gut supplements all the time. They normally take probiotics and chances are they're not working. Not because it's bullshit. The problem is that there are thousands, probably not thousands, hundreds of strains of probiotics. You need the exact right one for your body. It's probably not doing anything. That's why you got to take Gut Plus, the only gut supplement you should be taking if you're only taking one, unless doctor tells you something else. But you know, if you got a real problem there. Anyway, Gut Plus, what it does is it is a prebiotic and a postbiotic. Basically, what it does is your body creates probiotics. What Gut Plus does is that it gets rid of the bad bacteria, allows your body to create its own probiotics, and then helps get rid of all those symptoms you're trying to get rid of with your gut supplement. The bloat, the irregularity, the you can fly if you're taking Gut Plus, which is a gut problem that everybody has. Just kidding. You can't fly. But the other stuff is definitely legit. Get to bodybio.com. Try Gut Plus. Try Elite, the hydration solution that I've been taking that is great. Yep. Try it. Go to bodybio.com. Use code FIRECJ. You'll get 20% off your entire order as many times as you want to use it. That's bodybio.com, code FIRECJ. I go back and forth on the job that Daryl has done here because I think overall, considering the situation, he has done a reasonably good job. The thing that I repeat all the time about Daryl and the situation he walked into is he got here and there was $110 million annually committed to Al Horford, Ben Simmons, and Tobias Harris. That's the entire cap. It's the entire salary cap. So with picks out the door, you know, and then like you, there are things you could quibble with. I would say the two biggest things that I would quibble with in retrospect is I believe he waited. I mean, even before what happened with Ben happened, I believe he waited too long with Ben Simmons, which proved out to be correct. But who could know that that would happen that bad?
You mean his first year here, he should have traded him.
Yeah. I mean, he tried to, you know,
before the Hawks.
Yeah. He tried to make the Harden trade that year. And then the other thing was that, you know, it looks like Jake Fisher reported that Halliburton was on the table for the Sixers in the Simmons
trade. It's
been
talked about enough where it's like, yes, it was.
And the other thing that he added to that was that Tobias Harris would have gone to the Hawks somehow and they would have rid themselves of the Tobias Harris contract. But overall, I think he has done a good job.
Yeah, it's Harden is good and was good for Embiid and made him the MVP. And that, you know, on some level matters in a way that I don't feel it right now. But in a few months, maybe I will feel pride instead of embarrassment that Joel won the MVP.
Also, by the way, there wasn't like a huge market for Ben. So
no, but Halliburton is so good, man. He's so good. He's such a winner. He is such an automatic, like this team gets better when he's there. And you could look at this team with Maxey and Halliburton around Embiid and go like, that makes sense to me and that can grow together. And that is not as expensive as Harden, especially with Halliburton this earlier in his career. And it just like so much would have made so much more sense. And the way they look at it now, it's like either Harden's here and we're fucked, or he's gone and we're fucked.
I think
that wouldn't have been the case with Halliburton.
For sure. We did say though, and I do think it is reasonable to say that if your goal is to win a title in the next 2 years, that there was a reasonable argument for trading for Harden rather than Halliburton. But that said, going into this, I'm trying to get your trust level in him. I am terrified of I'm just terrified of the 4-year Harden contract, Mike D'Antoni hire. Oh my God, what are we doing? I can't believe he did this. Is this a practical joke? It sounds like what ChatGPT would have written that he did. I can't believe this is happening. And I want to have faith in him, but I am incredibly nervous about that part of it.
Yeah, he just cannot get over how much he loves James Harden. He can't do it. And I think if you asked him off the record, I think he would give you a couple concerning, a couple worries, but I think he really believes that he's the dude, and there's nothing that is preventing Harden from being a championship level player aside from like shooting variance. And that's upsetting. Sometimes like there's more to it than like we got good shots and they didn't go in. I think a lot of times in game six, they got good shots and they didn't go in, but there was also other shit that was happening. And you could just tell that their foot was off the gas and they weren't getting to the loose balls and they were giving up offensive rebounds and they were giving up like little 50-50 shit and slow here and not like getting all the way to the rim with authority to not just get fouled, but also hit the end one. Like there's just every little inch mattered. And I think, unfortunately, at this stage of his career, Embiid is similar enough to Harden that those guys are not able or willing or motivated enough or whatever the fuck to both, you know, want it more in a way and also like have the motor to act on it. There's a relentlessness to Giannis watching him play, even though he is less skilled in a bunch of ways. There's a relentlessness to him. Those Embiid and Harden don't have that in nearly as many ways.
I agree.
And Harden is just limited in so many ways. And Embiid, you know, I think in his post game or postseason, whatever, last press conference of the year, he like admitted that he needs to get better as a ball handler. So he stops, you know, being so, you know, turn the ball over so easy to double and trap or whatever the fuck. Like that's absolutely 100%. And you know, he's the era that he's in as a skilled 7'2" big that is so dependent on the defensive end and on also an offense. Like that, no one's ever asked, hey, you're a really good ball handler for your size and you're a really good shooter. And you're incredible at drawing fouls and you're a great foul shooter, but like you need to get even better at the like ball handling thing and getting by guys who have more moves, you have more stuff to go to. Like no one's ever asked a guy that big to do that. But like we are asking him to do that because his weaknesses are holding the Sixers back. And in order to run your offense through that, a center that is more easily doubled than Jokic is, like you just gotta be better, and he's gotta be better.
He's also got to shoot 150,000 three-pointers. There's no reason why he's not a better three-point shooter.
Yeah, he's got to be much more automatic from three. And I don't know. I hate this team. I hate myself. I really want to just phone everything in. I'm trying not to watch sports for like 4 months. I'm trying to just like opt the hell out because it repulses me. They repulse me.
That was the answer to the question. Do you trust Daryl?
Do I trust Daryl? I don't think so. I think my answer is I don't think so.
Wow.
I think the answer is I don't think I do.
Wow.
I think you're right in the sense of, he had, I don't know why I answered that question the way I did. I'm sorry for not answering it. I think you're right in the sense that he came in here, but he took the job. The job wasn't forced upon him. Obviously he took the job knowing that this team was in a hole of sorts, even though they had a ton of, exciting players, namely Joel, but like they were in a hole because of the decisions that were made by the prior regime and a half before him. And he's made some good decisions. He's gotten Harden there. Like it was a valiant effort, but, and maybe I'm just going based on the reporting and stuff, but like, it seems like he's still just horned up for the guy that brought him as much notoriety as he got.
Find the fucking CJ. Could you find the hug picture? I know you're getting up to go somewhere else, even though you're fucking the producer of the podcast. But
CJ, I'm going to do it. If CJ leaves, I'm leaving too. Just leave the empty microphone, Zoom boxes. I mean, like, look, there's much more of an emotional element to what Daryl does than I think the like number reputation has on him.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, Harden was good this year. Harden helped Embiid become MVP. But like, you got to be willing to move on. We got to be willing to move on. We got to be willing to like find, like turn over every possible rock to see if there's a way out of this Harden and Tobias situation. Because if you have Maxi, you have Embiid. Obviously, Maxi has to get a lot better. But like, there is... That's a good... That's a really good starting point, Maxi Embiid.
Yeah, it's something.
It's something. And you can add PJ Tucker in there as like a guy that I would give, again, 3 months off during the regular season. But he'll show up in the ways that he can show up in the playoffs. And then plus Melton is fine. Like, you start to like convince yourself it's fine. And can you just like... take some of these puzzle pieces out and insert puzzle pieces that make a little bit more sense and have a little bit more of a mentality that we can get on board with. And can Maxi take another leap? Like, he has taken several and he needs to take more. If, you know, it'd be nice if all we needed for him to be was like a sixth man, that'd be great. But we need a lot more. We need him to become like one of the top 20 players in the league.
writes to rickysanchez@gmail.com. writes to rickysanchez@gmail.com is the email address. This is from Peter. Pete from Vermont, he says, I just realized that Philly has been serenading Joel Embiid with chants of MVP for the past 3 years, but those days are over because of the MVP chant directed at Joel will now just sound like mockery. How could anyone chant MVP at Joel Embiid and not feel like it is laced with irony? If I were a fan of another team, like the Celtics, I would get that MVP chant going at road games. A regular season award is all he's good for. Is he the Donovan McNabb of Sixers players? Mm. No, I hope not. I mean, no.
He deserves, like, it's definitely a recency bias thing because he was obviously good in the big Toronto series. He obviously showed up in the Miami series and the thing, and when he got back from his injury, I mean, he was dealing with the knee thing. Like, we're making excuses for him again, but like, he's had playoff success, individual playoff success in the past that his team has let him down. Your Amir Johnson's, your Greg Monroe's, et cetera. DeAndre Jordan, we can keep going. But like, there's still something missing. He has now too often gotten like shook by Al Horford or Brooke Lopez or Marc Gasol. Like, it's just happened too many times, and it's just going to be on him to prove that that's not the case. Like, absolutely, the MVP, like taunting MVP chance, absolutely, and the MVP chants that are going to happen around Philadelphia for Sixers games are going to sound like kids doing it. It's just going to be like 11-year-olds.
833 lick face is the
bunch of like middle-aged people being like, fucking no way, I'm not saying it over the I'm not saying it.
It'll only happen in the afternoon weekend games.
Yeah.
833 lick face.
Hey guys, Connor, over the course of Sunday evening, well after the game was over, which I had stopped watching about partway through the third quarter, I began to, you know, go on Twitter and Instagram and just start unfollowing the team accounts, player accounts, media specifically devoted to the 76ers. I muted their names on Twitter. I was done. I had to be done. This morning, being a supporter of local print journalism, I pulled up my Philadelphia Inquirer page and saw the news that one Glenn Doc Rivers was fired. I found in myself a small glimmer of excitement, of hope, maybe, of belief that things could change. And it was then that I learned that this is a disease. It is an illness that many of us have been afflicted with since birth. Many of us have willfully contracted it, but there is no cure. We are here forever, and we will die with this pox upon us. Have a great day.
Mm-hmm. Very accurate. Kornblau and Kornblau is the official law firm of the process. We love Adam Kornblau. He's the Kornblau we've been in contact with the most. His personal injury law firm, he and his mother, been there for 4 decades. Parents started it. He now keeps the dream alive of suing the shit out of people who did you wrong. He has a passion for this job that we wish Joel and James would have for their job. truly cares. Personal injury lawsuits can take a long time. They are complicated. You need somebody who is passionate about it, but is also communicative and caring and good at his job. And that is what Adam Kornblau is. Most importantly, when you reach out to Kornblau and Kornblau, unlike other personal injury law firms that you see advertised or hear advertised or see the billboards or whatever, they are just referral services. Whereas Kornblau and Kornblau, you're going to call up or email, you're going to get a Kornblau. If you've been injured in any way, medical malpractice is their specialty. Some of the biggest results in Southeastern PA. Injured at work, car accident, slip and fall, any of those things. Kornblau and Kornblau is who you reach out to immediately. Doesn't cost you anything to make that contact. Zero. I am, and he'll come to you. How about that? They have offices all over the Delaware Valley, but he will come to you. Doesn't cost you anything. 215-576-7200. So many of our listeners have reached out to Adam. Unfortunately, a lot of them are for like landlord advice, but he helps with that too. Not officially, but he will give you advice on anything. 215-576-7200. Ask for Adam or email Kornblau at kornblauandkornblau.com. K-O-R-N-B-L-A-U. Adam Kornblau, the official lawyer of The Process. This is from Will. Would an Embiid trade be the end of the Ricky? And relatedly, would you personally follow Embiid to his new team or stay a fan of the Maxi-led Sixers? Thanks for the pod. It's a consistent bright spot for me, even a really dark week that started with my dog of 12 years crossing the Rainbow Bridge, God bless you, and ended with this pathetic excuse for a basketball game. So I, you know, quite seriously, I like doing the podcast. So, and I don't think they're trading Embiid. So I don't think we have to worry about it. I think the answer for me is would continue to do the podcast, but would also cheer for whatever team Embiid is on because I want him to succeed.
I don't know. I'm really upset with Joel. It's hard to
talk about it.
I would love to not feel this way anymore. I feel guilty for feeling it, but I just like.
You're still mad.
I'm so mad.
Yeah.
I'm so mad.
Yeah.
So I'm in mourning and you have to like, hopefully I haven't said anything too stupid on the last two podcasts. Like try to forgive me for any fucking things I immediately flip flop on in like a week.
Yeah.
But like it takes time to like, this was a crushing loss. They had Boston up Sixers up 3-2 on Boston going home for a game six. Tatum playing poorly. Like all Embiid ostensibly healthy or healthy-ish. All the momentum in their favor after winning like an excellent, excellent game five in Boston. They had it. It was right there. And they lost two disgusting games that they should feel embarrassed about. The second of which was one of the most embarrassing losses in playoff history. Just as bad as the Phoenix Suns loss.
Oh yeah.
Last year.
Very similar, actually.
Very similar, except for the fact that this is to a rival that has absolutely owned us over and over again. And so...
Do you know what sucks about it the most? Here's a list of 47 things.
Yeah.
No, is that... And I think AU wrote this in his article. I think it was his article afterwards. Is that, yes, the Boston Celtics were, for most of the season, or a good portion of the season, and the second half of last year, the best, debatably the best team in the NBA. And they were in the finals last year. And they were heavy favorites over the Sixers. And the Sixers did go to seven games and did have an opportunity to win the series. And I think when you say it that way, you're like, huh, you know what? Okay.
No.
But when you saw it,
yeah,
it made it so much different.
Yeah. Watching these guys that we fucking spend so much of our time caring about, thinking about, wondering how to support, arguing against other people who blamed, you know, generally, I guess I'm talking mostly about Embiid, about like it was actually like it wasn't Simmons's fault because like the floor was never spaced and like he couldn't have anybody to kick it out to and the defense kept collapsing on him and blah, blah, all this other stuff. And which was arguably right at the time. But like for so long, we just kept like riding for Embiid, making excuses for Embiid. And in two of the biggest games of his career, he didn't show up. And it was not just in, not just statistically, but like visually did not show up. And so I feel like hurt by that because of how much time I've committed to caring about him as a person and a player. And so I'm just not, I'm not over it. I feel dumb as hell for thinking about this as much. I feel, I wake up in the morning and I'm like, remember why I'm sad. And I'm like watching something and just like getting, trying to fucking take any substance that would help me feel less sad.
Wow.
Sometimes it's Gut Plus.
I was going to say.
Sometimes it's an edible, whatever. Like, this team fucking made me sad and fuck them. And I'll probably at a certain point, like,
you'll get over it.
Come back around a little bit, but like there is a part of me for sure that watching the team, this team fold and the way that they folded after years of folding in similar but different ways with similar but different players, that's just like never going to fully like come all the way back in. And it's just like, man, we thought, I went on stage at fucking Underground Arts and I played the part of like being the optimistic hype guy. And I said, we have Joel Embiid and they don't, and we're going to beat him. And like they would have, the Sixers would have been better off if Joel Embiid did not play game 7.
Oh.
And that sucks. That sucks to think about. That really, really sucks. And the like big loser part of me wants to blame it on the injury and wants to reaching so hard for this excuse that he was injured and he came back weeks earlier from this knee sprain that would have taken him out for a long time in a different time. Like he was back and he was playing pretty good on those other games, especially game 5. And, I just can't do it anymore. We've done it too many times. And so like, I just feel like this guy should bear a lot of this responsibility. And stick his middle finger up his ass on Broad Street. Someone takes a picture and they make that the logo.
833 Lickface is the voicemail number.
It's Joe. First time in a long time. Was it Tuesday? Just figured it out. Joe has 1 year. The way I see it, he needs to figure and fix it in 1 year or less, or fans are going to turn on him. He's going to get traded, and we're done, and it's over, and we got to start over. That's it. That's how I see it. I hope I'm wrong, but that's how I see it.
You know, a lot of people have talked about him like asking out, and a lot of AU's article was about that. I'm not worried about that. Actually don't think that's happening. I'm not concerned about that, you know, right. You know, for the reason, I just don't think he wants to win that badly.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought he did. I thought he did, but I don't know. Maybe he was fucking hurt. This sucks. I just want to know, like, he didn't want to fire Doc. He seemingly wants Harden to stay there. He said, like, me and James can't do it by ourselves. Obviously, that was, you know, cut up from a longer quote that was him owning it also. But, like, what does he want?
Right.
What does he want? What is the magic cocktail of players and personalities that will happen where he is willing to go, like, yeah, this was right. And more than just, like, kind of the lip service of, I got to be better. Like, he'll say that every time when they lose, but
good at post game unless things are going well. He's not good at it
because he wants to blame other people. He wants to provide his level of context and stuff. But like at a certain point, it's like, dude, you're the best player. You're the fucking MVP. You should have won one of these two games. You yourself should have won one of these two games and you fucking didn't. And it sucks. And what does he want differently? I know he's not the GM. It's not his job to get that shit. But like, he was upset about the Matisse trade. He was, he wanted to sign Korkmaz to a 95-year contract. Like, what do you want? What do you want to happen? What players can you surround yourself with that you feel like you are out of excuses, because it feels like he just has a lot of excuses. And I want him to just no longer have those. I want him to make, for a lot of the year, do exactly what he did for a lot of the year, which is make the right pass, trust his teammates, move fast, catch on the move, get fouled, like be a willing shooter from everywhere when he's open. But like everything devolved into a slowness. And I blame Harden for a lot of that, but it's also on Embiid.
I agree. 833 Lickface.
Hey, Spike, Mike, and CJ. This is Dimitri. So the question I have is, in looking back at the past 5-6 years, why one name isn't being brought up that I think in the most recent process era is the one most responsible for the pathetic state of this team? And that is one Elton Brand. If you look back at the decision making when he signed Jimmy, signed Tobias, and then let Jimmy go after a playoff series where Jimmy Butler was the only player that has actually showed a combination of heart and talent that actually made them achieve after that particular playoff series of all the players that they've had over the past 5 years. Remember when Brett Brown said, Jimmy Butler played like James Butler. He was an adult on the court. And Jimmy said, my name is literally Jimmy. That guy he let go. And not only that, then he's the one who signed Al Horford to replace him. And not only that, then he brought in Doc Rivers, who is the quintessential floor-raising coach, but absolutely never got any team over the ceiling with the exception of one lucky Celtics season. Why does Elton Brand still have a job in this organization? Please answer this question.
Also forgetting about the Tobias deal and Tobias contract.
No, he said it. He said Tobias contract. He didn't say trade. He did say Tobias contract. Okay, so a couple things. He didn't hire Doc Rivers. The owners hired Doc Rivers.
Yeah.
He was
part of the Colangelo regime that was left after Brian left. And he was right. The face of it. They elevated him from like G League GM kind of. It was crazy.
Specifically. Yeah.
But he was part of that, you know, four person, whatever.
I mean, he was the face of it. It was, I think, first of all, why he's here now, it doesn't matter. I think he is a good, smart guy. He will eventually be a GM again in the league. I guess officially he's GM right now. He's well thought of. Daryl thinks a lot of him. Like, he's not making calls right now. And the worst I think you could say about him is that he was unprepared and too inexperienced to have that position at that time. That said, he, and I say this all the time, and you just said it, there were four people there. Alex Rucker had as much say, if not more say, than Elton Brand at the time. There were too many voices in the room. They were awful decisions. I think Elton would tell you they were awful decisions. The problem over...
And all of them would blame somebody else for those decisions.
100%.
Including Brett, by the way.
By the way, that is part of it, is that I don't know that anybody could own any of it. But I think
Brian was doing that even when Brian was the GM. He was blaming somebody else.
Right.
It was the people that Brian had hired and brought in, and plus Brett as the coach, were making all those decisions. And like some people from ownership. Like, it was just a hodgepodge of guys that were all sort of going behind each other's back and absolving themselves of blame.
And the biggest thing is that there have been four regimes since Hinkie. Four. There was Brian Colangelo. There was the Elton Brand Borg. There was the time when it was Brett Brown and David Heller.
Well, I think that's the same kind of.
But it's still different.
Those two are kind of the same to me.
Okay. And then.
Because the Mikal Bridges trade was draft and trade was in the, was a month after the burners broke.
Right. So but that it was pre-Brand.
But he was at least part of the leadership.
Sure. And then more
collaborative process.
There has not been a cohesive leadership here since Hinkie, which is part of the problem.
Well, until Daryl, yeah.
Until Daryl. But it's only been 2 years that Daryl's been here, so who knows? Look, I think it is fine.
Three? Because this is Doc's third season, it was Daryl's third season also, because Daryl drafted Maxey in the 2020 draft 3 years ago.
You're right. You are absolutely right. I think you could absolutely give Elton part of the blame of what happened, but I just don't know why you would be mad that he's here.
Yeah, I just like don't all think those it guys.
Matters. Yeah.
Like all of them. Yeah. And I do think, like, I don't know. What you said before about about like taking a step back for a year and being like, okay, Embiid and Maxey, let's rejigger some other stuff and let's like gear up for the following year. I just like Embiid is no longer young. You can't just sort of call 1 year. I mean, you can think like long-term, but you can't think like, okay, this year doesn't matter so much. We're going to gear up for one more. And so I don't know. I look.
Yeah. I just don't know that there's a win now move. That's my thing is like, do you see what I'm saying?
No, I understand. I think they're really boxed in a bunch of different ways. And it would be nice if they had a couple picks where they could get lucky, like they did with Maxey. He was a late first round pick. He fell, thankfully, Mike Muscala, who did not do a good job of sabotaging the Boston Celtics like I predicted he would. But they were right, you know, they had the opportunity to acquire Maxey because they had the pick that Maxey was. Like, if they had traded that pick, they wouldn't have Maxey. And now they'd be like, who the fuck do we have? What do we think? Like, I just think too often picks in this organization have been devalued and they go like, oh, we can get somebody like undrafted or something. But like, you look at the last few years of drafts and like guys in the early second round are always good. There's always guys to get there and the Sixers like continue to give them away. And now they don't have like really any, they have no picks in this draft. It's important to say they have no picks in this draft. They fired their coach. They are well over the cap. They have to make a huge decision on this guy who's old and slow and seemingly doesn't want to be in the role that he was doing pretty well this year after then failing in the playoffs. And they have no picks to infuse talent. Mac McClung still sucks. I believe in Louis the King. Let's see if we can get some more 6'8 guys that can shoot and dribble and jump. But they're boxed in, man. They're boxed in a bunch of ways. And a lot of that is the fault of people before Daryl. And some of that is Daryl's fault as well.
Well, we'll see what the fuck happens.
Wait, I got to tell you a story.
Oh, boy. Okay.
So I play in this basketball league. Hit it.
Right.
There you go. Yeah. And at the end of last week's game, guy comes up to me and says, Mike, I'm from Philly. Huge fan of the podcast.
Okay, that's
he's
good.
He's in this league. So he's like, I'm like, okay, what team are you on? Nice to meet you. Thank you, whatever. We play him this past week, Monday, a couple days ago. So a day after game 7. Mm. It is not only him, but there's a second guy on his team that is also a fan of the podcast. Two guys, Andy and Pat.
Okay.
And nice guys, very, very sweet. Randomly, there's another guy on their team that was the actor who played Ric Flair in Young Rock. So I introduced myself to him. I was like, what are you doing here? So that was cool. So I'm playing these guys and I'm like, okay, I hope what's going to happen is there's a little bit like just shy of starstruck. Cause I'm obviously not a star, but like for someone that they don't know that they've just met, like, to like play against me, I was like, can I get an edge?
Yeah.
Playing against them, these guys that like are like, oh, I'm playing against the fucking guy at the podcast that I listen to. Like, I was hoping that that would be the case. What ended up happening was I was shook. The idea of my reputation as a basketball player and analyst is on the line because I'm playing against these guys that are like, well, finally, this fucking guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He fucking sucks.
Finally, listeners seeing you play basketball.
Seeing me play basketball.
That's a lot of pressure.
I definitely didn't play too well. I didn't play horrendous, but I didn't play too well. But I did at one point, I'm covering one of the guys and entry pass comes in and I try to knock it away and I get a hand on the ball, but I also hit him in the back of the head and he goes down really hard. And so I'm like, oh fuck, I just severely injured a listener. He ended up being fine and he was joking about it also with me, but I felt really bad. I was like, oh, I can't be out here fucking hurting listeners. And then on the very next play, the guy who played Ric Flair elbows me in the throat.
Oh no.
And I go down, but it was fine. And he was also felt bad. It was all fine. But it was really funny. And they beat us by 7. They're a better team. But yeah, first time I played against podcast listeners.
Wow.
And I have room for growth. I have room for growth for sure.
It's Ricky listeners everywhere. It's fucking cool, man. It is cool.
They should let me fucking win, by the
way. Yeah, absolutely.
This podcast is fucking free. Let me at least, come on. There was one guy on their team that was being like way too aggressive, and then they apologized for him later. And I was like, okay, that's nice.
By the way, your picks for the final four in the NBA?
None. Don't have them.
There you go.
I will not be providing them. I don't acknowledge that they're happening.
There you go. That's fine. I'm fine with that.
There you go. And so I fucking lost that game. And then Alyssa's, the team, I'm still coaching Alyssa's team. We lost for the first time last night. We were 5-0 going in. I'm tired of losing. That's like a lot of losing in a very small amount of time.
A lot of people are saying that you are the unifying problem? Factor. Yeah,
that's fine.
And all of that losing.
I will go away forever. I'm willing to hide in obscurity until the end of time if it makes everything better. I'm willing to do that. And if it's my fault, if it's me going on a honeymoon, if I should have never gone to Europe. It's not like they were good before I went to Europe. It's not like there was so much success all the time. We were showering in success.
I mean, you did come back. They were undefeated.
You told me to come back. I told you I would have waited until we lost to come up. You know it. CJ knows it.
Not
CJ will confirm
Europe.
It.
Not in Europe, though. You were that. I did not tell you to come back to the country. I told you to come back to the podcast.
Okay, so you think it's less me being on the podcast and more being in America?
I'm just saying it's something we should wonder about.
Okay, all right, that's fair. So I will then blame my travel agent.
We will be back Saturday. The Sixers say they're going on a long coaching search. I wonder, maybe it's somebody lost D'Antoni's phone number. I wonder if that's what happened. That's why it's going to be so long. So we will talk to you this weekend. Are we have a guest this weekend? Yeah.
Yep. Seems like it. Fun guest.
Good. Yeah. Good guest. A guest from our history. No, not Hinky. Every time we say something, it's Hinky. Do you know, I was going through the old pods. Hinky was the first guest we ever had on the pod.
If you don't fuck with me.
Yeah.
In October of 2013. Okay, we'll talk to you this weekend. Are you done with TTP?
Yeah.
Then I won't fuck with you.
Yeah, you know the case.
If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you.
If you don't fuck with me,
then I won't fuck with you.
But if you fuck with me,
I'm gonna fucking kill you!
Time for Plan B.